Okay, Amar B'Chazara, Adoni Eliezer, Masechta Shabbos, Daf Pei Vav, and I believe the Daf Simon is the popo, the police. I don't know what the 3 points are. Okay, and we are in we're still in that series of cases of seemingly random cases where we start off with Minayin. That is the common denominator between everything we've spoken about. There's a lot about Tumah. There are connections between some of these, but like it's hard to find a theme that answers and explains all, I think, 7 of these cases that we've brought down about the Nida and the Avodah Zarah being Tumas Kanida. But we'll take a look. So it starts off Minayin lepoleta shichva zera biyom hashlishi shetehei tmeya. How do we know? From where do we know that a poletes shichvas zera? Poletes shichvas zera is a woman who had relations with her husband and subsequently emitted the carry, the semen, it came out of her at some point later on. Now, carry on its own will be metame, and she will be someone who admitted carry, and therefore she would be Timea as well. However, there's a certain point where it's just in her body for so long that it loses its status as Tumah. It loses its I guess viability and ability to produce I guess a child or whatever it is. I don't know exactly the details of how it's misracha, says Rashi. It rots, it spoils, whatever it is within her. And then there's a certain point where it's not, where he says it's not ruya liklot, right? It's no longer going to be absorbed. I guess by her, like, it's not going to be fertilizing it no longer has the ability to fertilize an egg, and therefore that's when it's going to lose its status as Tumah. So how do we know that if it's on the third day that it comes out, that she's still Tame, which is actually going to be subject to Machlokas, but this Mishnah is saying this opinion. Shneimar, because the pasuk says Hayu nechonin l'shloshes yamim, that they should be prepared for 3 days. Now we actually just read this recently, Parshas Mishpatim 2 weeks ago. Parshas Yisro 2 weeks ago, and this is by Matan Torah before Matan Torah in Parak Yud Tes. I remember that from Rabbi Goldhar's Parsha Simon of Yud Tes, and it was on a yacht. So he was by the Parak also. So the yacht, which is anchored at the foot of Har Sinai, so is how I remember the preparation for Har Sinai, and part of that preparation is that they have to be tahor and not be with their wives, and they're actually told 3 days in advance. Why 3 days in advance? That they could just, you know, they could just be there with their wives the day before and then go to mikvah or something like that. But so what's the, why 3 days? Because the women needed to be at Har Sinai. The women needed to be there as well, right? It's the Ezra Sinai, they still had an Ezra Sinai, you know? So, here's the Shem. Shem again.
Expanded women's section.
What?
Expanded
women's section, exactly. They're there for Parshas Zachar, for everything. So the women needed to be at Matan Torah, which is interesting. It's just a very important point. I think it, you know, to have to take note of that. At least for Matan Torah, all the women had to have been there. It couldn't be that the husbands were in the Har Sinai based Medrash and then they came home and told the Torah. Like, at least for Har Sinai, everyone had to be there. And the women would not be able to be there because still within 3 days of after having relations with their husbands, they might still be Tameya at that point. So the fact that there was a 3 day thing, which couldn't have been for the men, it was for the women. And therefore that's an indicator that a woman could be Tameya even 3 days after relations. Okay. Next Minayin. Minayin shemarchitin esamila b'yom hashlishi, shecholios b'shabbos. How do we know that we wash off the place of the mila even on the third day, even if it's on Shabbos? Rashi points out, da'af b'yom gimel mesukan hu, meaning, how do we know? So over here, I guess, there is malacha involved, and basically what it's saying is that, you know, for pikuach nefesh, obviously you could be mechal Shabbos. I'm wondering if this is... This washing is with warm water. It sounds like there's some sort of malacha going on here, but you're allowed to do it for a child after the bris milah on the third day after the bris milah. Now Rashi says, how do we know that you can still do it on the third day, third day of Shabbos? Meaning, how do we know that the third day is still a very dangerous day and the child is still in a precarious, sensitive medical situation that you could violate Shabbos at least to some degree on the third day after? How do we know the significance of the third day? So. Shenamar, because the pasuk says, "Vayihi b'yom hashlishi b'yosam ko'avim," and it was on the third day when they were in pain. This is a reference to Shechem, right? The massacre of Shechem, which I also remember is Perek Lamed Dalet, because I remember in Sefer Bereishis, I remember the ladders that Shimon and Levi used to take down the city of Shechem. It says that it was 3 days after the bris milah, and they were koavim, they were in pain, which the Mishnah is understanding that to be that the people of the city were in pain, and not just in great pain, but in significant, in a precarious medical situation, and obviously making them vulnerable to being killed out by perhaps just 2, maybe 10 men. It shows how weak they were, and therefore we know that especially for a child, the third day after, it's misukan, and you should wash the area of the maknami to prevent infection or whatever else. Okay, last minayin for now. Minayin shekoshrin lashon shel zahoris barosh seir hamishtaleach. From where do we know that you tie a string of wool? A string of red wool on the head of the seir hamishtaleach, right? In Parshas Achrimos, we didn't get to that yet, so I don't know which parak says over here. Whatever. But in Parshas Achrimos, when we learn about the avod of Yom Kippur, we have the two goats, the seir lazazil, the seir lashem, and apparently the seir hamishtaleach, the one that is the goat that is sent, meaning lazazil, so they would tie to its horns a red thread, and the Maseches Yuma speaks about this. Bishnayis, the Gemara. So how do we know what's the source of Shnei Mar? Because the pasuk says, "Im yuchateichem kashanim kasheleg yalbinu." This is a pasuk in Yeshayahu, that if your sins will be like shanim, like red wool, I will whiten them. They will be whitened like snow. So what happened is that there was a red string tied, and then it would turn white. By the seir, but also by somewhere by the heichal. I forgot where exactly it was, but it's mentioned in Yuma. It's mentioned other places as well, but anyway, it's this idea, this pasuk of red wool turning white as a symbol for the forgiveness of the sins. And I apologize for my sin. There is one more minayin for now. Minayin l'sicha shehu kishtia b'yom kippurim. And where do we know? From where do we know that the that sicha, anointing, is like drinking b'yom kippurim on Yom Kippur? So we see like some loose connections, right? There was like a 3 days for shichva zera of pletes zera, and then 3 days of the bris milah, and then we have like Yom Kippur and then the Yom Kippur one. But like one common theme I haven't seen yet. But what do we know that anointing is like drinking on Yom Kippur? Now it's not really. We have to know it's not. It's like it in that it's usher. It's a likely not usher to the same degree. Definitely not like I think it's a machlokas rishonim whether it's an iser de'oraisa or not, the sicha as well, but definitely they are different, but they're similar, and in that they're usher. So the aval pish in raya ledavar is zeich ledavar. Even though there's no raya for it, there is a reference to this. Which, by the way, this phrase was used previously in the last mission of the previous parak. I don't remember if we used it since then, but that also might be some of the connections over here, right? We were talking about the using using water, or using a kli for like a piece of pottery to carry coals or to carry water, and we use the pasuk in Yeshayahu to perhaps be a remez ledavar, if it's not a raya ledavar, right? So a zecher ledavar. So it could be that's part of the you know stream of consciousness here in these mishnayos. But anyway, what is it? I'm sorry I'm spending so much time thinking about it, but in my mind, like I like it to be organized, and it's hard for me to like manage these like why the Mishnayos, you know, we call them Sedarim, and we say Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was Masader them, so this must be an order. So I always try to figure out what that is. So I'm saying it out, and I'm hoping, you know, people will think about it, bounce ideas back, thinking out, just trying to figure that out. But anyway, so where do we see Sichas like Shtia? The pasuk says in Tehillim, "V'tavo kamayin bekirbo ukeshemin ba'atmosav," and water will come in him and like oil in his bones, which means to say that if something is anointed, Rashi says, "Makish sicha l'shtia," it compares drinking to anointing to drinking, and like it's like the anointing is like the where the body drinks, right? Things the things go into the pores of the body, so it's like the body drinking. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to analyze that first one. So Reisha, Delo Karebi Elazar Ben Azaria. The Reisha, which we said, which is that Poleta Shechva Zera Biyomash Shlishi, she's still Tameya, so that is not in accordance with Rabbi Elazar Ben Azaria. As we're going to learn Lakaman Bibraisa says Rashi. Seifa Krabalaj Ben Azaria. However, the Seifa, Rashi says Diktani Marchitin Esamila, Bukhule, Rabbi Ben Azaria, Huda Amar Lakaman, Parak Rabbi Eliezer. So in Parak Rabbi Eliezer later on, right now we're in Parak Amar Rabbi Akiva. In Parak Rabbi Eliezer, we're gonna learn a lot more about Bris Mila on Shabbos and the details over there, and we're going to see that this halacha is in accordance with Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, but the first part of the Mishnah is not in accordance with Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. So we seem to have a contradiction. Right, Seifa Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, D Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, Tahora Shemana Le. So because according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria in the Reisha, she would be Tahora after day three. He says that once it's after 3 days, she's Tahora. So how do we deal with this, right? We have just working on the first two halachos in the Mishnah. The first one is not in accordance with the Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, and the second one is. Contradiction. So mandalo moki kitanoi, tana resha Tahora. So the Tana... who doesn't want to establish it to be kitanoi will amend the Mishnah essentially and say really supposed to say Tahora. Umukila lekula Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, and then he'll say the whole thing's like Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. Okay, I'm gonna explain this outside before, and then we'll read the words. Basically, there are different approaches of that the Gemara has in general for such Mishnayos that seem to reflect contradictory opinions without specifying that they are indeed different opinions. You know, when it says this and then it says Divrei Meir, Rabbi Eliezer Omer this, right? Kedivrei Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel Omer this. So that's great. That's smooth. But sometimes you have a Mishnah but it doesn't mention any names. So you expect it to be one opinion. But you see there are two different points that are contradictory shitos. So there are the Gemara over here is saying there are two ways to resolve it. Happens to be there's actually another way to resolve it. But the Gemara is talking about right now there are two ways to resolve it. One is that sometimes we'll say that it's machlokas tanayim. This is I know it looks like it's all one shita, but this is actually one opinion and this is another opinion. And it just for whatever reason the Mishnah didn't express it as a machlokas, but yeah, it's true. It is a machlokas. And sometimes the Gemara's approach will be, yeah, one of them is a typo. Let's amend that. So those are two approaches. Now, a third approach, sometimes we say it's like Rebbe Ketanoi, like Rebbe, you Rebbe Yehuda Nasi. I think maybe that is the same approach. Whereas we say, this is the Shita Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, and he held like him over here and like him over here. I think that's a different approach, but we do see that in Shas where that's like, I guess a third opinion. Yeah, I think it's the third approach. But now the Gemara is saying over here, so the one who says, so Lemandalo Moki Kitanai, the one who doesn't like to say that it's, I don't like saying there's a machlokas here if the Mishnah doesn't explicitly tell us there's a machlokas. So how does he address it? He says, Tana Resha Tahora, he would actually amend, he would sooner amend the Resha Umukila Lakula Karebi Elizabeth Azaria. And established the entire thing to be like Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. I don't know if he had a precedent for that. It could be, was there another girsa out there, and that's what motivated him, or just on his own he would do that? I'm not sure. But that's what he says. Uman de mukim kitanai, but the one who likes to establish, who is not so quick to amend a Mishnah for unfounded reasons, and with no actual basis, and rather would suggest, no, it's a machlokas tanayim. Reisha Rabbanon v'seifa k'rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. Reisha is the sheet of the Rabbanon, and the seifa is k'rabbi Elazar ben and the seifa is k'rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. So when we spoke about Paleta Shechva Zera, that's the sheet of the Rabbanon, as we're going to see. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria was the one who said the other teaching. And I guess you could say over here that it's, you know, Rebbe quoting both. Honestly, I think there's a good defense for this approach, especially over here. Meaning, the big challenge to such an approach is if it's a machlokas, and the Gemara should say it. I'm sorry, the Mishnah should present it as a machlokas, right? This is the Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. The Chacham Omrim this. That's how it should present. But I think you could say that in a regular Mishnah. However, our Mishnah is a little bit different. Because our Mishnah is a series and is part of a greater series of like random halachos that seem to have some sort of common theme. So it's not like a comprehensive presentation of the shitos of Poleta Shechva Zera. Clearly not. We know there are three opinions. The Mishnah is giving another minayin. Minayin lepoleta Shechva Zera, minayin shemachitzenes amila. So it doesn't have to be like a consistent... it doesn't have to be, it's like a consistent, sheet. This is someone's shita, this is the shita Mishnayos. It's like a collection of examples of cases that are Minayan. So I think that there's more room to say that it makes sense that even if it doesn't present it as a machlokes, but it could be that they are conflicting shitos, and that's fine. I'm not sure if that's clear, but that's just something that came to my mind. Okay, so let's take a look at this situation. This is where it gets a little tricky. If we count the onos and Rashi really will help guide us. But let's see what we do. Tana Rabbanan. We learned in the Braisa. Poleta Shechva Zera biyom hashlishi tahora divrei Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. So she on a third day, she if the zera comes out on the third day, she is Tahora, which is, again, that's not like our Mishnah, as the Gemara had said. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Pamim Shehein Dalad Onos, Pamim Shehein Hey Onos, Pamim Shehein Vav Onos. There are times where it's four Onos, times where it's five Onos, and times where it's six Onos. And an Ona is essentially a 12-hour period. So you have... Right, so every day has two onos, and so basically the machlokas is going to be how we understand the 3 days mentioned in the pasuk. So it seems to be like 3 days on the calendar, not necessarily counting the ona. It doesn't really matter. So he says sometimes it could be four onos. So, for example, let's say they were together, I guess, Wednesday night. Rashi says, Upamim Shehein Dalad Onos. So it's like the first wide line of Rashi. So, Pamim Shehein Dalad Onos. So, Shlemos, like four full onos. Shim Shamsha Dalad B'Shabbos. Like, right, so they had relations on Wednesday, Im Chashecha, as it was getting dark. So Pleitas Atameya at Chilas Shabbos. So her over there, because it's you have Thursday and Friday, and Shabbos is already the third day. So over there, you only had four onos because you had I guess Wednesday night you would call it, meaning it's Leil Chamishi, but it's the night following Wednesday, and then the day of Thursday, and then the night following Thursday, meaning Thursday night, and the day of Friday. And then already on Friday night, you've already passed two calendar days. You're on the third calendar day. You only got four onos, but that's not a problem because he doesn't base it on onos. He bases it on days on the calendar, 3 days on the calendar. And sometimes there are five. So as Rashi says, "Pum shehim hey onos." Right? So if it was the beginning of Wednesday, it was earlier on Wednesday before it was dark, so then you have the five onos in between, but Friday night it's not, she's no longer Tamea, because the 3 days passed. And Pamim Shem Vav, Rashi says, Kigon Shimsha B'tchilas Leil Dalid Bein Hashmashos. So if it was the beginning of Wednesday night, Bein Hashmashos, so then you would have six, because it's three entire days, three entire onos that should be Tameya. Now this is to be especially contrasted with the third opinion in the Braisa, Rabbi Akiva Omer Li'olam Hey. It's always going to be five. He says that we are actually going to base it on the onos themselves. That's not just, 3 days on a calendar, that even if it's the beginning of this day, like the end of this day and the beginning of the next day, so it's actually going, like, he doesn't hold that. He says, Li'olam Chamesh, Vimyatsa Miktsas Ona Rishona, Nostin La Miktsas Ona Shishis. And basically, you do it basically to the hour. So it's, I guess, a full, maybe 60 hours, is it? Because, right, it's 6 times 12. No? 6 times, 5 times 12. 5 times 12 would be 60. And so it's basically to the hour. So even if you missed a few hours of the first one, we get it at the end. That is his shita. Right, Rashi says, Nos nila miksas onos, lahashlim hey, v'chol hapoletes besochei onos shlemos temeya. It's five complete onos. So that is the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. So now we have our three opinions. Amru Rabbanan Kameder of Papa. So the Rabbanan said before Rav Papa, Rami la Rav Papa la Rava, and some say it was Rav Papa who said Rava, Bishlam Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah Karabbanan Da'amri Behei Avid Prisha. Rabbi Bishmal Karabbi Yossi Da'amar Bedalad Avid Prisha. So the Shitos of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Yishmael, that it's either up to 3 days or 3 days that she's Temeya, right? But remember, they don't go according to the onos, they go according to days on the calendar. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says by the third day she's already Tahora, if it's on the third day, and Rabbi Yishmael says no, the third day is the end of it, but she's still Temeya that day. So those Shitos are based on or connected to a different machlokas that we're going to see more on the next amud, which is going to be analyzing Matan Torah itself. Now, there's two shitas there. We said that Damri Behe Avid Prisha and Rabbi Yishmael Krabiosi Damar Bedalad Avid Prisha. On what day did they separate from the husband's wife? Was it on Wednesday or on Thursday? They're going to say ultimately that the Torah was given on Shabbos, and we're trying to. So it's unclear in the chronology. Maybe you even noticed in Parshas Yisro a couple of weeks ago. Just the 3 days, Hashem says, tell them in 3 days, I already told them, and Chazal say there's three more days added, so they're, right, these are the Shloshos Mei Hagbala, but it could be there were like really 6 days overall, and Shabbos, and the Torah was given on the seventh day, so it's a little bit hard to figure out the calculation. There's a Machlokas, Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan, about whether it was Wednesday or Thursday, and based on that, we could also have the machlokas of whether she is Temeya for Pelata Shechva Zera, Pelata Shechva Zera, either 2 days or 3 days. It would be Taloyan, this machlokas of it, was it on Wednesday or Thursday? That makes sense. El Rabbi Akiva, come on. But Rabbi Akiva, come on. No, Rabbi Akiva, come on. Who's he going like? So Leolam Rabbi Yossi. So really he goes like Rabbi Yossi. Meaning that it is 3 days, right? Rabbi Yossi says Dalid on Wednesday, not what Thursday, and therefore it's 3 days, which would be also the Shita of Rabbi Yishmael, the stricter of those two opinions, right? That on the third day she's Tamea, not on, she's still Tamea. So how does Rabbi Kiva shtim with Rabbi Yossi? Kida Amar of Ada Bar Ava. It's in accordance with Rav Ada Bar Ava's interpretation. Rav Barava is an Amora, but it's an approach that is spelled out by Rav Barava, but that must have been how Rabbi Akiva understood Rabbi Yossi. Moshe b'hashkama ala u'b'hashkama yarad. Moshe went to the Hashkama minyan. He went up early in the morning, right at the beginning of the day, u'b'hashkama yarad, and also came down at the beginning of the day. B'hashkama ala. And I think the Hashkama piece teaches us. So just taking a look at Rashi Liolam at the bottom. Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Yossi could have added the Amar Moshe Kol Aliosa B'Hashkama Allah V'Chol Ridosa B'Hashkama, that we see all of Moshe's going up and the mountain and coming down the mountain was in the morning. Hilkach. Yerida dechsiv vayered Moshe min ahar el ha'am v'yikadesh ha'am dahainu prisha b'hashkamas revi. So we see that since it was in the morning that he would have all these communications, and he came down in the morning, so that's when he warned them. Meaning he warned them with a full day ahead, right at the beginning of the fourth. Right, so he told them, commanded them at the beginning of Wednesday. It wasn't like Wednesday afternoon, and he was warning them about Wednesday night. He came up Wednesday morning, right? Everyone just had just gotten up, and Moshe got back from Nates on Har Sinai, and on the Hashkama Minyan on Har Sinai, and he came down, and he told them early in the day, B'Hashkamas Revi Hayasa Umehuzdak LaFrishan B'Hashkama Shmal Mina Ad Hei Onos Shlemos Kapid Kra. So we see, based on that, but the fact that the Torah goes out of its way to indicate, as we're going to see back as we go back to the Gemara, it goes out of its way to indicate that Moshe got up in the morning, early in the morning, and he came down the mountain also a different time, early in the morning, the next day, early in the morning. So why does it have to tell us that he returned to Klal Yisrael and it was early in the morning? To say that if he gave them that warning Wednesday, not Wednesday afternoon, about Wednesday night, but Wednesday morning as a warning about Wednesday itself. So we see there are five full onos that are included in this prohibition, and not this prohibition, but which could result in Pota Shechva Zera being metameh her. And therefore we see that the way Rabbi Akiva understood Rabbi Yossi's opinion is, as Rav Barav is explaining, that it's not that it's just 3 days. It's 3 days, but 3 days with five full onos. So let's see how we get to that cheshbon. So Vayashke Moshe Baboker, right? Zichsim Kesbasi says Vayashke Moshe Baboker. It says Moshe got up early in the morning. So there we see Hashkama. So when he went up, Vayal El Har Sinai. Bahashkama, right? So so clearly when he went up to Har Sinai, it was Bahashkama. Yorad Dichsiv, but how do we know that it was Hashkama when he went down also? That the next day he got down, still it was morning time, early morning. Dichsiv, because the Pasuk says, Lech Reid Velisa Atava Aroni Mucha. The Pasuk says, go down and you will go up, you and Aaron. Makish Yerida Lealiah. The pasuk juxtaposes raid with v'alisa. It juxtaposes these two terms, going down and going up, to indicate that ma aliyah bahashkama af yirida bahashkama. Just like Moshe's aliyah was bahashkama, as the pasuk says explicitly, says vayashkem, so too, when he went down, it was bahashkama. And if he went down, it was bahashkama, then again, we have the shita of Rabbi Akiva within Rabbi Yossi, that it was five full onos. Okay. Question though, is this you're really going to tell me that he warned them Wednesday morning about if they were going to be together Wednesday during the day at some point? That was part of the that was necessary. Lamale lemein ralehu, but why would he need to say it to them? Va'amar Rav Huna Yisrael kadoshim hein. But Rav Huna said that Yisrael are holy people. The Jewish people are holy people. Ve'en resham shemito sehen bayom. And they are, right, they're not mishamish mitosein during the daytime. So, you're going to tell me that Moshe Dafka had to go, come back Wednesday morning, he had to come down from the mountain to warn them, guys, the entire Wednesday, be careful too? No, of course, why would you have to warn them? They're kadoshim, they're not mishamish mitosein during the day. You wouldn't have to warn them until tonight, and really it should only be four onos. So Rava said regarding this, if it's a beis afel, if it's a dark home, it's right, it's pitch black even during the day. So then tashma hamita is mutter. Vama Rava, v'yisimah Rav Papa, and another shot as well. That Rava says in some say Rav Papa, tamachacham mafil bataliso umutter. That a tamach chacham can actually dark even if it's not a very dark house. He can darken the situation with his clothing, his blanket, his talis, whatever it is, and then he has permission to be mishamish mitasa during the day. Rashi says tamachacham shugut sanua v'lo yistakel sagi le'mape bataliso tamid echachamim, because they're just very careful and very tsanua and very makbid about the tsnius even during tashmish hamita, so they can achieve that necessary tznius through just being mafil bataliso. A regular person needs a base afel in order to have this heter. And that's the Rashi's approach. There are others, say, the Rambam and others, that it's that a Talmud Chacham, that this is like kind of like a heter, that a Talmud Chacham, you expect, has the self-control and the understanding in general to not overuse this and abuse this heter of being ma'apil bataliso. Because, right, and if you just make it like a blanket, pardon the pun, a blanket heter, then it's just going to create, there's something going to be lost. Sometimes you can make a dispensation for a Talmud Chacham that, okay, this heter, you can also technically do it and use your own judgment not to abuse this heter, not use it in proper context, which could, you know, lead to a whole bunch of other questions you might have to ask that might connect to that approach. But that is another way to understand it. And I think we will hold it here.